Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vancha kalpa turibhisha kripa sindhuve vacha paritanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, text number 23? 24. Shri Kasyapa Uvacha Etan me Bhagavan Prista Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yadahati Pravakshyami Vratam Keshava Toshanam. Sri Kasyapa Uvacha. Kasyapa Muni said, Etat, this, me, by me, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Prista, when he was requested, Praja Kamasya, desiring offspring, Padmaja, Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower, Yat, whatever, Aha, he said, Te, unto you, Parvikshyami, I shall explain, Vratam, in the form of worship, Keshavatoshanam, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Kasyapa Muni said, when I desired offspring, I place inquiries before Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Please repeat after me. Sri Kasyapa Muni said, when I desired offspring, I place inquiries before Lord Brahma, who is born from a lotus flower. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Here, the process of devotional service is further explained. Kasyapa Muni wanted to instruct Aditi in the same process recommended to him by Brahma for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is valuable. The Guru does not manufacture a new process to instruct the disciple. The disciple received from the Guru an authorized process received by the Guru from his Guru. This is called a system of disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayu vidu. This is the bona fide Vedic system of receiving the process of devotional service, by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Therefore, to approach a bona fide guru or spiritual master is essential. The bona fide spiritual master is he who has received the mercy of his guru, who in turn is bona fide because he has received the mercy of his guru. This is called the parampara system. Unless one follows this parampara system, the mantra one receives will be chanted for no purpose. Nowadays, there are so many rascal gurus who manufactured their mantras as a process for material advancement, not spiritual advancement. Still, the mantra cannot be successful if it is manufactured. Mantra and the process of devotional service have special power, provided they are received from the authorized person. Om Magyana Timarandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chakshuran Meditam Gena Tejmai Shri Guru Vedamaha I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer him my respectful obeisances. Read the translation one more time. Sri Kashyapa Muni said, "When I desired offspring, I placed inquiries before Lord Brahma, who is born from a lotus flower. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied." So first, before I start class, I want to ask permission from Maharaj to give class. Thank you, Maharaj. And Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj. Everyone's a Maharaj, according to Maharaj. So I'm asking permission from all the Maharajis here. So let me introduce myself. My name is Ghosh Thakur Prabhu. I'm from Montreal. I'm from Canada. I live in a place called Sharanagati Dham. And I'm visiting India for 1 month this year with my wife back there and my daughter, Gopal Nandini. And thank you. And we are just coming from Navadvip Mayapur. I did the parikrama there with the Russian yatra, which was very enlivening, because the Russian devotees, they have very nice melodious melody for kirtan, not anything difficult to follow, and they're always very eager to hear chant about Krishna. They can sit down for 3 hours straight and hear without blinking an eye, which is unusual, maybe because some people say because the communist regime made them very austere, so now they like easy. It's easy for them to take on the discipline of Krishna consciousness and the selflessness of Krishna consciousness. So, before I start speaking about the verse itself, let's talk about generally about the process of hearing, which we are undergoing right now. The process of hearing is very important. Like, we can ask ourselves, what is the reason why Krishna consciousness spread all over the world so quickly? And why is our Krishna consciousness making devotees all over the world? One reason we can take is that our process is, the goal is very clear. The goal is very clearly defined. It's Krishna. And because the goal of our religion is clearly defined, we can develop the determination to go to that goal. Like, for example, in our scripture, there's clear description of Krishna, the Supreme Person. He's Bhagavan with six opulence and full beauty, full knowledge, full strength, full renunciation. So, and then there's clear description of Dwarka, of Vrindavan. So, we have a clear idea of where we want to go. It's a wonderful place, wonderful association of Krishna, the Supreme Powerful Person, who is in charge of the whole universe. Whereas other religion, they have an unclear description of where they want to go. They're not sure who God is. Some religion, they describe God as impersonal. And some religion even describe God that you cannot have a personal relationship with God. And so on and so forth. Although there's devotion in these religions, the clear goal is not clearly described. And because the clear goal is not clearly described, it's hard for people to give up the present pleasure they have in this material world of sense gratification, which they can understand and enjoy, for a goal that they cannot really figure out what it is. So for them it's difficult, it's doubtful or insecure. Oh, well, if I give this up, what's there for me there? They don't know. But we know. We know there's spiritual happiness. We know that we can enter into Krishna's pastime. And we have a wonderful description of, again, the environment which we will enter when we become self-realized. So because we have that clear goal, it's kind of easy for us to accept the austerity necessary to break away from sense gratification. So when we hear the description, we ask, okay, you have to chant 16 rounds and you have to follow the four regulative principles. Okay, no, sure, I'll try that. Because the goal is worthy and it's clear. Without a clear goal, to give up sense gratification is very difficult because there's nothing to replace it. Like if I ask you to give up meat eating, Well, you all gave up meat eating already, but let's see, I'm talking to non-devotees, and I ask them, give up meat eating, give up eating egg, fish, and all that. But there's no alternative. Well, what else are we going to eat? But if I tell them, well, I got some nice prasadam, vegetarian food, you know, and I describe everything, you know, then, oh, okay, we can try to change over. But if they have no information, they're going to hang on to what they got. So the hearing process of Krishna consciousness sustain our faith and sustain our determination to achieve the goal, because we have sufficient information to break away from sense gratification. So going to this particular pastime, first of all, I want to let you know one thing, is that something I'm going to tell you, I have realized a little bit, maybe 1% of what I'm going to tell you about. And some other thing that I'm going to tell you about is just some theory that I heard from Srila Prabhupada, and I don't have much realization about it. You have to understand that. You understand that the person who's giving class has limited realization. I have some realization, and some other places I don't have that realization. Because later on, I'm going to talk about love of God. I have little realization, but still we can talk about it, because the theory of Krishna consciousness is necessary to speak about. And if we quote from Srila Prabhupada, there's no danger. We're clear. We're speaking clearly. So I just want to let you know that. So to give a little recap of what's going on here, is that what happened previously is that Indra offended his guru, Brihaspati, because he was very proud, intoxicated materially, being surrounded with all kind of worshippers. So Brihaspati came, and he didn't rise, he didn't greet him, nothing. Brihaspati disappeared. When Brihaspati disappeared, Indra lost everything, because he offended his guru. A good lesson for us. So meanwhile, Bali Maharaj was worshipping his guru very faithfully. His guru was Sukracharya, not even a Vaishnava, but because he was a Brahmin and he worshipped him, he was getting more and more powerful. So what happened? If Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets. So now the demons are in charge. They took over the heavenly planet. The demigods are hiding. And Aditi is lamenting that her children are bereft of their opulences. And now she approached her husband and she's asking for guidance. So then we can say, well, you know, Aditi's got material desires. Her devotion to Krishna is not going to be pure because she has this desire that her children be reinstated in their position. What has that to do with pure devotional service? So we can criticize Bhadra Aditi for that reason, but we have to be careful, because actually, when she has that desire that her children be reinstated in their position, she's actually also pleasing Krishna, because Krishna wants the demigod to rule, because the demigod represents Krishna, and Krishna is going to be able to impose his will to the creation by the teachings and the supervision of the demigod. If she does not perform her vow, and if she does not help her son to come back, and the demons are going to rule the universe. The demons are going to rule the universe, and Lord Krishna's purpose is not going to be fulfilled. They're going to spread atheism all over the world. So Aditi's desire, although it seemed to be like motivated, is actually pleasing to Krishna. So she should not be criticized, because she's pleasing Krishna like that. So the mantra cannot be successful if it is manufactured. Mantra and the process of devotional service have special power, provided they are received from the authorized person. So the Maha Mantra has to be received from the proper person in Parampara. Like sometimes we see people receive the Maha Mantra, they go to a yoga class somewhere. And nowadays, non-devotees know the Maha Mantra also. In the West, there's a great push for chanting mantras. Like in Vancouver, we have a program outside the temple, and it's kind of like covered a little bit. We don't present Krishna consciousness completely straightforward. But we ask people on the internet to come chant mantras. And we have different mantras like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and Upanishad mantra. Then we have the Maha mantra. So people, they like to chant mantras nowadays. It's all over the place. But sometimes the mantra is not received. There's no devotees there. So when what happens, in two ways, the mantra, although it's the Maha mantra, may have some power, but they don't receive the mantra with understanding of the mantra. Like, for example, we chant the Maha mantra because we receive it from Prabhupada with knowledge. We receive the mantra with knowledge. Like, for example, we know that to chant the mantra Hare Krishna, you have to avoid 10 offenses. So if that knowledge is not there, chanting the mantra will be okay, but then you may commit offenses. So by receiving the mantra with knowledge in Parampara, you can progress rapidly, more rapidly in chanting the mantra. Because there's a theology of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is enlighten us in how to chant the mantra. Whereas if it's not received in the Parampara, there won't be any philosophy to chant the mantra with. People won't know about the 10 offenses. Like other religion, they also chant the holy name of God. In Christianity, they chant the holy name of God. And other religions may chant the holy name of God. But they can only go so far because they don't know about the 10 offenses. So they break, you know, they eat meat and they commit sinful activities and they think everything is okay because I accept God in my heart, whatever. But we know we have knowledge. Then also, when the mantra is chanted by an acharya, like Lord Chaitanya and the disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada chanting is imbued with Krishna prema. When he chants the Maha mantra, it attracts Krishna. Yet it attracts Krishna because his chanting is imbued with love of God. And love of God is more powerful than Krishna himself. So when Srila Prabhupada chants the Maha mantra, Lord Krishna is pulled in and is attracted. Then when Prabhupada gives that mantra to his disciple, grand disciple, there's a connection. Krishna thinks, okay, my pure devotee has now chanted this mantra. Now my pure devotee wants to give shelter to these people. So I have to take part in this because Krishna is bound to the desire of his pure devotee. So in this way we're connected to a pure Krishna prema bhakta of Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna now has interest in us. Otherwise, Krishna would have no interest. On our own, we have no power to attract Krishna, because here it's explained also that it's a mercy movement. It's not a skill movement or a doctor in philosophy movement. It's not a movement of people who are charismatic and powerful. It's none of these things. It's a spiritual movement based on the mercy you get from serving your guru. So, because it's mercy, we depend on the mercy. So that's the difference. So, the mercy will come from the spiritual master, and the spiritual master has to be bona fide and needs to be in a bona fide disciplic succession, and the mercy is flowing down, and we can receive it, we can get it like that. So now we can, because I didn't have too much time to prepare my class yesterday, I was asked to give class to give today class, so I didn't have too much time. So now I'm going to divert our attention to maybe understanding the theory behind pure devotional service, because we are mixed devotees, at least for myself, and we have mixed desires. So what is pure devotional service, and how can we obtain pure devotional service? From Srila Prabhupada's teaching, we can explore this topic, and that maybe give rise for you to ask questions about this, to create some topic of discussion. So, Prabhupada gave a class in 1966, 26 Second Avenue, where he explained the process of pure devotional service and the result of pure devotional service, which is love of God. So, it's curious to see that the people who were there on 26 Second Avenue, they're just hippies coming out of the street. And Prabhupada now is going to teach them, after like a couple of months, he's going to teach them about pure love of God. It's kind of like incredible. How can someone teach about pure love of God to people who are totally unqualified? But the power of Srila Prabhupada was so great that even if they were totally unqualified to hear, because Prabhupada was speaking, some of them could understand. Prabhupada could is so powerful that anybody can understand Prabhupada. Like today, for example, even when Prabhupada left the planet, so many devotees are being made all over the world. China, Russia, Middle East, North America. Who's making all these devotees? Okay, we can say there's agents, like people open preaching center, they open restaurants, they have yoga classes, and the devotees, disciple, the Prabhupada grand disciple, they're the agent that make devotees. But the real person making devotees is Srila Prabhupada, because they are made devotees by reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is inside his books, and Prabhupada's making devotees today. All the devotees here are made by Prabhupada, but He gives us the good fortune or the credit to make devotees, but actually Prabhupada is making devotees through his books. So therefore Prabhupada explained what pure devotional service is. So he says that one should not expect to become relieved of one's miserable material condition by devotional service. And one should not expect to become liberated from this material world by executing pure devotional service. He said these desires are material sense gratificatory desires. And in devotional service, there's no bargaining. It's not a business deal. There's no expectation of reward for a pure devotional service. Of course, I don't understand that. Like I'm saying, is the theory, Prabhupada talking like that, that devotional service, we cannot utilize devotional service or utilize Krishna for ourselves. We cannot squeeze Krishna, some benefit from Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, is totally independent, totally inaccessible, inconceivable, and the only way we can attract him is that we have sincere, loving devotion for him. And it's not meant to be used for sense gratification. That's what Prabhupada meant. So then he quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamaye Mama Jamani Jamani Ishvari Bhavatat Bhakti Raiti Kitwai, that Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want riches, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want followers. And what do you want? Is that I want simply to remember Krishna birth after birth. Even doesn't want liberation because he says birth after birth. That means he doesn't care for liberation. So what does he want? He wants just to remember Krishna. Because sometimes we may pray to be relieved of suffering, but actually the only suffering is to forget Krishna. So we should pray, whether we're suffering deeply or we're enjoying greatly, we should only pray to remember Krishna always. And if we remember Krishna always, then the suffering will be less, no matter how difficult the suffering is. And if we forget Krishna, then it's like the greatest misery. So Lord Chaitanya, he prays only for remembering Krishna life, birth after birth, and remembering Krishna's devotional service, birth after birth. So then Prabhupada will explain that in this material world, we have desires. We have material desires. So, and these desires basically are based on greed. Because we're greedy, mostly people want money. So they want, if they have no money, well, they want $1,000. So they work hard, they get $1,000. But once they get that $1,000, they're not happy with that $1,000 because you can get more. You can get $2,000. You get $5,000. So now they want $5,000. Now, I'll let you know that there's some multi-billionaire who have $20 billion and they envy the person who has $50 billion because it never stops. Greed never stops. So therefore, they're never happy. There's always something more they can get. But in Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that if you obtain the ultimate goal, which is samadhi for the impersonalist and Krishna prema for the devotee, if you have Krishna prema, then there's nothing higher than that. If someone obtains pure devotion and he develops devotion, he develops Krishna prema for him, there's nothing more, because it is Krishna himself. Krishna is identical with devotional service. Krishna is identical with love of God. So once you have Krishna, there's nothing more than Krishna. And then we are satisfied. It's the only way to be satisfied with our life's desires. So desire cannot be repressed, and desire cannot be... desire is always there. But what is the right desire, Prabhupada explained? The right desire, the right natural bona fide desire, is because we're servant of Krishna, we should desire to serve Krishna. We were part and parcel of Krishna, we're infinitesimal part and parcel. We have a relationship with Krishna, and the relationship is devotion. So our natural desire should be that I want to serve Krishna. We should see ourselves as a servant. I'm only a servant. This is a good philosophy to adopt in Krishna consciousness. It's hard to accept that we're servant always, but it will give us, it will help us overcome many hurdles on the path. Like when there's difficulty, if we remember we're a servant, it'll be easier to take. Because servants, sometimes they don't get what they want. It depends on the master's will. And then, if you meet adversaries, enemies, you got to be humble. Taranat pishani chena atarapi sarishnina amadina madina kitaniya sahar sadahari. So to remember your servant will make you bypass many influence of maya. Because maya is that energy that covers our knowledge of Krishna. One time in the beginning of the movement, there was a class by Prabhupada, and one woman, unidentified woman, asked a question at the end of class, and she asked the question, what is Maya? Is she a deity? Does she have a form? And if she has a form, what is the form of Maya? And Prabhupada said, you don't need to know the form of Maya right now. You're not going to be able to understand that form. But what you have to understand is the influence Maya has on you. There's an energy acting on you that makes you forget who you are, yet you are a servant of Krishna. So that you have to analyze that energy that's acting on you. And we have to analyze that energy also. We have to identify Maya. We cannot be fooled. So if we take ourselves as servant, when Maya attacks, it will be easier to identify what's going on. If we take ourselves a master of any kind, when we're contradicted by the energy of material nature and Maya, we'll become bewildered. We'll become unhappy or dissatisfied, depressed, whatever, because we have the wrong identification. If we always identify, I'm a servant of Krishna, and of course I have some karma, I have to pay back from my past life. If something happens to me that is not very very palatable, I can understand and I can accept it and take it in. I'll tolerate it because I'm simply a conditioned soul that's trying to get out of Maya, and Maya will do something against my desire. So like that we can tolerate. So, then Prabhupada explains how do you get to pure devotional service? So why don't you have pure devotional service, and what will make you get it? And then Prabhupada quote the verse in Bhagavad Gita, "Tesham evanukam partam." He explained that those who have acted piously in many many lives and whose sinful reaction is completely eradicated, them, they can serve Krishna with firm determination. That's where it's coming from. All the doubts, the delusion, and then the unclear thing, they come from sinful reaction or sinful life. When sinful life is cleared completely, the doubts won't be there anymore, Prabhupada explained. So therefore for us, it's a matter of practicing Krishna consciousness to purify our life. That's why we come to India. We want to come purify sinful reaction. And that's what Sankirtan Yagya is. Yagya is to purify us from sinful reaction. I committed it for many, many years. In Vedic time, people would perform Yagya to get rid of sinful reaction, because if you don't perform Yagya, either the Sankirtan Yagya or other Yagyas to please the demigods, to satisfy them, then you'll be a thief. Because people who steal from the resources of material nature without recognizing that God is the supreme supplier, they're thief. They're sinful. So the Yagya were meant to appease the demigods and to satisfy Krishna. They recognize, well, I want to be grateful for what you give me. You're giving me so much, and I want to be grateful. So I'm performing this Yagya, this Sankirtan Yagya, to please you in return. So when we perform sufficiently, the Sankirtan Yagya will become purified at heart, and the anarthas will go away, and gradually we can go up more. So that's the idea. So therefore, there's the power of the mantra. Is it purifies us, and the mantra is also connected to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the Maha Mantra by itself is difficult to chant because it's for liberated soul. It's a Krishna mantra, but we're not liberated. But if we chant the Panchatattva mantra, we become liberated from our offenses to the Maha Mantra, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't accept offenses like Krishna does. He's more merciful. He's more magnanimous. He's the Mahavanagnaya incarnation. All the incarnation of Godhead, they are very strict. Like Krishna, if somebody would oppose Krishna, what would happen? Krishna will kill him. Kill so many people. It's a long list. Dantavakra, Shishupal, Kangsa, so many people got killed by Krishna because they were opposing Krishna. And other incarnation also, they come to reestablish the principle of religion, Paritanaya Sarunam Vinashaya Saduskritam. They kill. Ramachandra killed Ravana. And Narsingadeva killed Hiranyakashipu. And Krishna and Balaram, they killed so many demons. And Kalki, he will come, he'll kill so many people. But how many people did Lord Chaitanya kill? He came close to killing Jaya and Madai, but didn't quite do it. Because what did he do instead of killing them? He gave them love of God. There was like many opponents, like Sankaranya, like the 60,000 Mayavadis in Benares. They were opposing Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya converted them. They became devotees. He gave them love of God. There was the Buddhist priest who gave Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, some contaminated food, and Lord Chaitanya saved the Buddhist priest by chanting the mantra in his ear. And even offenders, Jaga and Madai, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya saved them. So Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation for all candidates, doesn't matter who you are, because the yagya that he gives, there's no regulars any funds. In Vedic times, if you wanted to perform yagyas, you had to have money. You had to have material resources to buy the ingredients for the yagya to put in the fire sacrifice. That's why it says in Bhagavad Gita that yagya is born of prescribed duty. Yagya is born of prescribed duty. Because unless you have an occupation, a prescribed duty, you cannot get any remuneration. If you have a prescribed duty, you have financial remuneration, and with that financial remuneration, you can buy the ingredients to perform yagya. But in Kali Yuga, people sometimes have no money, no occupation, so the mantra is free. Even if you have no occupation, if you're an idiot on the street, you can get the mantra for free, and you can chant, and you can perform yagya without charge. So Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. He's the most merciful. So there's 10 minutes to 9 now. I want to stop talking because I talked so much already. So I want to give you a chance to give your realization, or if you have any question to ask, or if you have any rectification to make, I certainly will take that very joyfully, if you do have some. Thank you very much for attending class. Any questions, comments? Yes? There's a microphone somewhere? Yeah, right there. There's a special trick. Every morning, it never works. Unless you know how to turn the switch on. The binding Krishna. We read in the Bhagavatam?
Ajamila, like people, devotees, you know, they chant their mantra
Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. That he's saying that I said in class that because the Acharya is as love of God, then he attracts Krishna, and we are under the shelter of the Acharya, so therefore, we have some mercy, and we can also get Krishna. But he's saying that Ajamila, he didn't have an Acharya, and still he chanted the holy name of Narayan, and the Vishnuduta came. So where does his power come from? Anybody can answer this question, because I don't really know the answer. Well, I said it clearly. I mean, I said it clearly once, so I'm not going to repeat it. So anybody has an answer to this question? Another? Oh, there's no answer. No, there's one answer there. Hare Krishna. Okay. Some Acharya. Oh yeah, you're right about that. Like, you know the pastime? You know more about how Ajamila got, how his son was named Narayan. There was some Brahmana, some Vaishnavas. There was some Vaishnavas who were coming, because Ajamila wasn't there when his son was born. His wife gave birth and he wasn't there, but some Vaishnava Brahmins came by the temple or wherever she was, and they heard the baby crying, and they told his wife, "You call this son Narayan." Maybe it's coming from there. I don't know. Might be an explanation. You have an explanation? You don't? Okay. Behind you. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, because one reason is he, Ajamila, at that point, he chanted without offense. It's explained in the sixth canto. Although he was very sinful, he didn't chant the name Narayan to counteract his sin. So, that in offenseless chanting also has more power than outer kind of chanting. So, but it's a good thing we're discussing this, because actually sometimes in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we don't understand everything. But by discussing amongst ourselves, we can come closer to the truth. So it's very good question you're asking. It allows us to discuss.
And you want to say this thing? You got free from the sinful reaction, and therefore you was, extracted from the Yamadutas. But then you got another chance. Like he actually came back in his body. He didn't die at that time.
Oh yeah.
At that time, he went to Hadamard and he performed Sadhana Bhakti.
Yeah.
So we can see it. But as far as attracting the Lord, achieving a complete success, that happened.
Because of his previous devotion, Krishna gave him a vision of the Vishnu Duta, Yamaduta, and he heard also the discussion between the Yamaduta and the Vishnu Duta explaining about devotional service. So Krishna gave him some mercy, but not all the way. Then he had to perfect his life. It's a little bit like Narada Muni in the forest. And then Narada Muni, he was meditating in the forest, and then he heard a voice. And then the voice said, it was Krishna's voice. He said, because he saw Krishna actually. He had as a child, he was left the Bhaktivedanta ashram. He was walking, and he came to this forest. And then he went, he drank water, and then started to meditate. Then he saw Krishna in his heart, and Krishna disappeared. And then he heard a voice. He said, "You're not going to see me anymore because you're not perfect in devotional service. But I grant you this first vision, little bonus." And then later he became perfect. So maybe we can get some bonus like that. Maybe if you are aware, we can, you know, get some vision sometime. I don't know. Kind of hard to get. But some are good explanation. Maybe one last question.
Asanga chant the name of Lord Krishna is also pure, but this name not with two types of name in just explained Vishnu Chakrabhu. One of Prema Krishna and one is the name just we chant. So when we chant the first Krishna, our all simple rites very simple after this series. But is not matter with that Krishna name. So Azamil just chant Krishna name because Azamil doesn't know. Azamil previously did perform devotional service when he is Brahmachari, right? So due to this service, he chanted to Hari name the last time also. But because when he just chanted his name, the time of his death, Narayan, this name is pure but not with love. So because of that, Krishna gave another chance. To Azamil, he goes to this Hridwar and just chant to this pure. So this is the philosophy by Vishnu Chakrabhu.
Well, that's answered in the purport that unless the mantras receive in disciplic succession, you cannot really attract Krishna. It has to be received in disciplic succession. Bottom line. That's what it says there. You may get some benefit because sometime it's explained like that. But if you want to perfect the chanting, you have to come in disciplic succession. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.